True. Welcome aboard, folks. Here we go to Your Voice Counts, as we have on every Saturday from 7 to 9 Mountain Standard Time. Certainly appreciate everybody listening, and this is going to be a great show tonight. And I was just going to say, hey, Devin, I'm getting a little bit of feedback. I don't know where it's coming from, but hopefully we can get it taken care of. But I do have some Liberty business here to do first, but I wanted to get Gary Brummett. He's my guest tonight. We were former shipmates aboard the USS Liberty. Gary was a petty officer in the United States Navy and a survivor of the vicious and callous attack on our ship that slaughtered 34 of our mates and wounded 174 others, including Gary and myself. Gary, please hold on as I must do the Liberty business. It won't take long, and then we'll start the show. So just hang on there, please, and we'll have a wonderful talk. Folks, I've been doing this show for a long, long time, and I tell this to everybody. Every week, I do this show in honor of my dead shipmates, as well as the wounded, the physically, and of course the emotionally scarred men, which are many. And it's a terrible shame that these men had to go through this, and especially the 34 that lost their lives, that didn't have a chance to even get to have a life. It's just something that never leaves me. Their lives are not forgotten. They won't be forgotten by me or my shipmates. And they were killed at the hands of our supposed ally, Israel. The state of Israel, yes, the state of Israel. 34 were slaughtered and 174 wounded. Some so badly it was almost unthinkable to even look at them. And their suffering brings back terrible memories. Folks, we had over 850 cannon rocket holes in our ship. That's when we quit counting them. We had over 5,000 armor-piercing bullets in her, napalm burning us up, and had approximately a 40-by-40-foot hole in the starboard side right next to where my guest was. I'll bring up in just a moment. In the engine room, more explicitly, in the fire room, in the belly of the ship. Our government, along with Israel, has been covering this up for the last 45 years. We did nothing, but here comes the music, folks. Support your sponsors on RBN. Real news, real talk, real people, because you can't handle the truth. We'll be right back. Hang on, please. I'll hear the bomb again. I'll hear the bomb again.
American gardeners and fellow patriots, make the right choice with your money, time, and your family food supply. Choose 100% pure heirloom seeds in the Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com. Why spend more? The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com is only $37.95 and includes 20 varieties of pure, hardy, easy-to-grow heirloom seeds. Yes, only $37.95. That's 70% less than our competitors. You could buy three Survival Seed Vaults for less than one of theirs. The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com includes detailed planting and seed saving instructions and ships same day. Plus, all orders over $49 ship free. MyPatriotSupply.com is American owned by patriots like you, passionate about freedom and preparedness. Call now, 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. Or discover more emergency preparedness items when you order at MyPatriotSupply.com. Choose the original. Choose the Survival Seed Vault at MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hey there, my name is Frank Bates. What I'm about to tell you in the next 60 seconds could get me in a lot of trouble. I just created a free video presentation at 123crooks.com that exposes the electricity monopolies and government agencies for what they really are: incompetent, lying crooks that are counting on your ignorance and fear to keep your power bills criminally high. Some have called this a conspiracy. Others have called it a cover-up. And you'll be shocked to find out how deep the conspiracy goes. My video at 123crooks.com exposes the truth and shows you the secret of how I beat them and how you can beat them too. Watch the controversial video that thousands of other smart patriots have already seen in the last 3 months. Go to 123crooks.com and discover one weird trick to slash your power bill and protect your home. Go watch my video now at 123crooks.com before they force me to shut it down. 123crooks.com.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Back, folks, to Your Voice Counts on this beautiful Saturday afternoon, Friday afternoon in the great state of Colorado, and I will continue on, folks. I left off with, we had a 44, almost a 40 by 40 foot hole in our starboard side that, in my view, I thought we were going over, and thank God it didn't, and I give all the credit to him and the shipmates that kept this great ship Liberty afloat. Our government has been mute in this attack. They were mute and not sending rescue aircraft that recall back not once but twice. Yeah, our own government. At the orders of LBJ, McNamara, and let's not forget John McCain Jr. Yep, he was part of the cover-up and still is. Well, he's dead now, but his son is still alive. He's a senator from the state of Arizona, and he calls this this act of war an accident. And he even goes as far as writing a review for a bankruptcy judge, a Jewish judge down in Miami, Florida, that says, "Hey, Judge, you did a good job. You know, you said the same thing my dad did. Yeah, it was a mistaken identity. Well, mistaken identity, my rear end." This cover-up, this act of war on our ship, was not only an act of war on our ship, but it was an act of war on the United States government, perpetrated on us by a foreign government in international waters. And that government is the State of Israel. And they still have not paid their dues for what they did to the great ship, the great crew, the great men of the USS Liberty. I blame this country as much as I do Israel, the assassins, the gleeful assassins that murdered my shipmate, my shipmates, and my guest shipmates in this act of war and treason. War and treason, folks, that's what I call it. I want to thank RBM for giving me this very, very special time, as they have for many years, to remember the heroes of the USS Liberty. I can think of no other radio station that has done this for the USS Liberty. None. I know that American Free Press has done many, many things for us, and I appreciate that. But John Stapmiller, I gotta thank you personally in hanging in there with your voice counts and the truth, trying to get the truth out about what really happened aboard the USS Liberty. I thank your staff, a great staff you have, Manny, Mike, Chris, and Devin, who's going to be our board operator tonight. Thank you, Devin. I appreciate that. I also want to thank dear friends, Kat, who sings the songs, beautiful songs, about our fallen shipmates and our ship. And her husband, Rick, who helps get guests for this fine radio show. Your Liberty songs, Kat, mean so much to the survivors. It brings tears to my eyes every time I hear your songs. And thank you forever. I'm forever grateful to you. Also, not to be forgotten, Ron Kukul for all of his efforts to help get good people on the air. And a very, very special friend, John Kadesko, a former intelligence officer aboard the USS Liberty. And he has a very, very fine website, the best website you will find on the internet or anywhere else. Go to tinyurl.com/USS Liberty. tinyurl.com/USS Liberty. If you want to get the truth about the USS Liberty, I mean the real God's honest, you go to that site because you'll get it. I would stay away, folks, from a site that is run by Jim Ennis. That site is a very hateful and despicable, disgraceful site that he judges people. He judges people in their own beliefs, in his own shipmates' beliefs. And I think that's just unconscionable. So if you come up on a site, Jim Ennis on it, just click it off. Forget about that guy because he's in it for himself. He's certainly not in it for the crew. Also, if you want to get a minute-by-minute update about the USS Liberty, go to ushijack.com. That's ushijack.com. You can get up-to-the-minute information, news that you won't find anywhere else, but on ushijack.com, including the USS Liberty and what's going on in the Middle East. Then, and folks, we are in deep, deep trouble in the Middle East if things don't change. If things don't change, you think things are bad now. Just wait. My dear friend, Gary Trump, I want to bring you on a true war hero, a friend, and a fellow engineer. Gary, welcome. Your voice counts.
Man, I appreciate you having me on. Hell, you made me sound like I was running for president or something. I want to take the time to thank John Stadmiller and RBN for giving the Liberty a voice, a venue, a place to tell the truth about what really happened to the Liberty. Because as you and I know, our government sure as hell will never allow the truth to be told. And Phil, as I've told you on a number of times, the hardest part of this Liberty affair for me, and I say this for myself individually, it's not what Israel did to me, but what my own damn government wouldn't do for me. We've had 8 or 9 presidents, I believe, in the last 45 years, and thousands of those $2 congressmen and senators, one which you mentioned this earlier, McCain, which I despise. None of them seems to really give a damn. And I'm real thankful that RBN gives the Liberty an opportunity to step up and say something. Now, I want to mention a couple of things. A couple of things come to mind when you were talking. And RBN has certainly been a friend of ours. First time I ever did a program, I think, was with John Stadmiller himself 4 or 5 years back. And, of course, I've done programs with Mark Dankoff. But we had another fellow, Tony DelVecchio at TD Radio, and I forget where, in Pennsylvania. And, you know, he got kind of tough on a few of them and actually had supposed judge from Florida on the program. You know, Tony's studio burned up. I don't know if that had anything to do with us or not, but he supported us, just not in the same stature as Stadmiller and RBN have. And I also noticed today that the Israeli Supreme Court, or yesterday, they ruled that the Rachel Corrie's death was an accident. Surprise, surprise. But so much for that.
Well, Gary, I got a letter from an ambassador that said don't expect much out of the Rachel Corrie trial, and this was her to her parents. And you know, eyewitnesses have said this guy in this tank. And it was a tank. It's a bulldozer tank. It's got weapons on it. And that young woman stood eyeball to eyeball with him.
Well, I saw the pictures. There's no way that he didn't see her. It was an impossibility not to have seen the young woman. It was just she was one of the obstacles like us. They wanted her removed, and it didn't matter how they did it. It's like, you know, we can kill and do anything we want to. Maim and dismember, and that's fine. We can get away with it. And so far they have, but as I've told you over the years, you know, what goes around comes around. That pendulum swings one way, but it swings back the other. Eventually, they're going to get their due. I really believe it.
Gary, we got a break coming up. Hang on, folks. Support your sponsors, please, on RBN. That's what's keeping this great radio station going. And we also have a pledge drive, so go to republicbroadcasting.org and, you know, make your pledge, and I'll see you in just a few seconds. Thanks for hanging on.
It would be too late for liberty. Hey, meat eaters, the freeze-dried guy wants to know, does your emergency food supply meet the standards for survival? Then get the 144-day meat variety unit from the freeze-dried guy. Our meat units utilize only quality Mountain House freeze-dried cooked ground chicken and ground beef, the undisputed choice for great taste and highest nutrition. The freeze-dried guy's 144-day meat variety unit includes six number 10 cans of the very best freeze-dried animal protein for power you'll need when the going gets tough. Every Meat Eater's 144-day meat variety unit comes with a free medical kit and always free shipping to the lower 48. Need more than 144 days? See our one-year-plus Meat Eater's units at freezedryguy.com. And hey, the Freeze Dry Guy still has LRP rations, but they're going fast. Don't wait until tomorrow. Call now, 866-404-3663. That's 866-404-3663. Or go to freezedryguy.com and meet the standards for survival.
Don't answer it! How can I stop these annoying collection calls?
Imagine being free from your debt without settling and with no payment plan, no negotiating or filing bankruptcy, and no attorneys. What if you could eliminate the risk from all your unsecured debt in about 90 days and keep all your money? You can. It's called Zero Debt Guarantee, and it works. There's no other program of its kind on the planet, and we guarantee the results in writing. Call now, 800-477-9256. Let our team of experts provide you with the resources to fight back, stop collection calls, and prevent and stop wage garnishments and bank levies. If you're facing foreclosure, we can help. Don't go it alone. Get free information now by calling 800-477-9256. Talk to an expert who has also completed our program. Call 800-477-9256 for free info or go to ZeroDebtGuarantee.com. That's 800-477-9256 or go to ZeroDebtGuarantee.com.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
They said that Israeli forces knew not of the liberty's true identity. And so they took advantage of the serenity. They attacked the silent ship, making a 40-foot hole in the starboard, killing 34 and wounding almost 200 more. They're just sending down the merciless nail palm.
Welcome back, folks. Your voice counts on this great radio station, RBN, Real News, Real Talk. Real people, because you can handle the truth. And Gary, I wondered if you would please because this show is dedicated to the engineers, and I know of no other engineer that I've talked to over the years that knew as much about the boiler room and main control and other parts of the ship. So let's kind of start a little early here. About when you were working with J.P. Newell. Now, folks, when you hear this, you're going to think it's kind of weird, but they were working on a pump called a coffin pump. So which probably saved us from sinking, believe it or not, folks. So, Gary, please give the folks your outline on that.
Okay. Phil, like you said, we were going to do this in memory of the engineers. This is about A-Gang, the machinist mates of BTs. I have a thing I want to read. I won't read it at this time. I will save it for later in the program. But to give you an overview, and like I told you earlier, I had sitting down and wrote this out so I wouldn't forget too much. But on June the 8th, for me and JP, was a carryover from the 7th. We had worked on a coffin pump for over 23 hours, and we had been up in excess of 30 hours. And little did either of us know the importance of this pump would play on the afternoon of June 8th. Now, Larry Thorne from A-Gang, the machine shop, had made us some 5,000 shims to take up the wear on the old ones. We had to take this pump apart and add a shim and put the pump back together and test it. It was time-consuming and, you know, and labor-intensive, and that, like I said, a 1,500 shim. So that was something else. And about 22 hours into this job, I failed to drain the steam side of the pump before I broke it loose and was somewhat scalded from the tip of my nose to my right foot. And after running water out of the distilled tank onto the scalded parts, JP helped me to sick bay. I stripped down, and the duty corpsman, he applied some burn ointment. He got below the waist, and we both agreed maybe I should doctor one specific part. It did recover also. Before leaving sick bay, the corpsman gave me a tube of ointment and, you know, to apply, and JP and I stopped at the mess decks for coffee, and it was maybe 3:30 in the morning of June 8th. Now, mind you, we had done been up probably 27 hours at this point in time. JP, seeing I was still in, you know, some pain, suggested, you know, go take a shower and hit the rack. You know, I'll put this last shim in and put the pump back together, and then I'm going to bed. Now, I didn't know that pump worked. But before I go any further, I've got two other guys I want to mention. Just prior to the attack, two crewmen from A-Gang, Mike Shaley and Jack Beatty, were testing the motor on the captain's gig. Some thought when the first missile hit, they had spun the prop off the ship or blowed the motor up. Well, that wasn't the case. It was a little more serious than that. Now, Mike, he went to his general quarters station in the emergency generator room, which was 01 forward amidships, and Jack went to what I consider the hellish pump room. Now, the emergency generator room, you know, when all of your electric, if your turbo generators go out, the emergency generator kicks on to give you lights and everything. Well, the emergency generator room contents and all didn't fare very well because it took two direct hits from a missile and was destroyed everything in the room but Mike. Now, Mike did receive injuries. And if memory serves me right, Mike told me, the emergency diesel was worthless, and he beat feet out of there. I believe at this time is when Mike removed a crewman from the main deck, although he said he was pretty certain that the guy was dead when he moved him. For those listening tonight, think about what just happened. Mike had just beat the Grim Reaper, then had to move the body of one of our shipmates. Later, as Mike told me, the bridge lost control of steering, and Mr. Golden sent Mike back to see what was wrong. Mike said he was not real keen on going back across the open deck. Lots of shooting still going on. And Mike was able to get back to after steering, and they was able to steer the ship from the 01 level below the main deck there and after steering. And, of course, Jack, he went to the pump room, and Jack had climbed down the ladder and placed the sound-powered phones on and was monitoring these pumps till just prior to the torpedo attack. Now, the pump room, as you know, was probably 12 by 12-foot square and well below the waterline on a lower level like the BT's workstation. The torpedo, knowing the torpedo was only seconds away, Jack had requested permission to leave spaces, and he was climbing out of this hellish spot, let's say. And about the time Jack got up to the edge of that hatch coming out,
hang on, Gary. I apologize. We got to take a break. Folks, hang on. We got a heck of a story going on here. Support your sponsors on RBN. Please support them, because I'll tell you what, they keep this great radio station going. We'll see you in just a moment.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth.
How would you like to own land? A refuge to escape from big cities, possible food shortages, the collapse of the dollar, or just a vacation trip is now available to you. Lots of fishing and hunting are available just across the Rio Grande River. Own your personal Colorado Wilderness RV lot within three stones' throw of the Rio Grande River for $1,395. Quarter-acre lots, county road access. All lots come with warranty deed. All just for $1,395. Call 785-672-3141. 785-672-3141. Or go online to ColoradoRiverLots.com for more information and to see photos. It is away from civilization, a good business investment, and a low-cost protection plan. Call today, 785-672-3141.
An effective 100% organic nutritional supplement is now available to be shipped out to you, rush delivery. Heart and Body Extract is a 100% natural, organic, and wild-crafted formula made out of garlic, hawthorn berries, hawthorn leaves, coleus, motherwort, bilberry, butcher's broom kelp, mistletoe, ginger, and cayenne pepper. It is an excellent formula designed to balance and support the heart and circulatory system. It is extremely effective and starts to work within days. Order your 2-month supply by visiting heartandbody.com or by calling 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305. Take the high road to a long and happy life. Heartandbody.com.
In 2010, millions of people were awakened to the question of what. Now the next question that remains to be answered is, why in the world are they spraying? An investigative look into one of the many agendas associated with chemtrail geoengineering programs, weather control. Why in the world are they spraying? Premiering and streaming live August 18th at the 3-day event, Consciousness Beyond Chemtrails Conference and Fundraiser in Los Angeles. For more info, go to www.cbclive2012.com. Why in the world are they spraying? Order your copy today at www.whyintheworldaretheyspraying.com. Watch the premiere live August 18th at the 3-day event, Consciousness Beyond Chemtrails Conference and Fundraiser in Los Angeles. For more info, go to www.cbclive2012.com. Why in the world are they spraying?
And if you control the weather, you're going to control the planet. It's that simple.
Welcome back, folks. Here we go for a good long run, 16, 17 minutes. And again, Kat, your voice is just inspirational, and it means a lot to so many, and especially me. And I really appreciate it that you give it your all. And that's what it takes in this world, to give it your all. And that's exactly what the crew of the USS Liberty did. They gave it their all to stay alive, to take their next breath. And we never knew if we were going to get a second breath. And, Gary, you left off talking about Jack Beatty, so let's go ahead and continue with him.
All right. Well, Jack, knowing that the torpedo was only seconds away, Jack had requested permission to leave the spaces he was in, the pump room, and permission was granted. And Jack said as he was climbing up the ladder, and this was a very small ladder, and that's about a 50 or 60-foot climb going up. The torpedo exploded as Jack got up to the edge of the upper level, And Jack said he didn't remember if he was blown into the overhead or not, but he said, I ended back up on that hatch on my back. And that's how Jack got hurt during the attack. Now, for those are listening tonight, Jack is alive and well and full of bull in Michigan, as Mike is also. He's alive and well and living in Iowa. Now, at this point, I'm going to get back to the engine room people, the machinist mates and the BTs. And most of Repair A was made up of engineers, as I was in 3A. And after we done set our battle settings and everything, the portholes, hatches, doors, setting watertight integrity on the ship, we went back to the mess decks where a triage was being established and the wounded were being brought in, and that was a bloody, gory place to be. Us engineers, we were told to go back to the, fire room, engine room area. Now, when I got back down there that night around, I'm going to say our port boiler had been taken offline about 12 o'clock on the morning of June 8th and was a cold boiler for all intents and purposes. And JP, now his battle station was in the fire room, as was Gene Owens and some of the other men, Albert Rammelsberg. And I hate to try and list everybody because I'm scared I'll leave somebody out and I might make someone mad. But anyway, JP and the men in the fire room had lit our boiler off with the biggest sprayer plate we had, which was a 42, and which normal light off would have been with a small 51 plate. When I got down there, there were two 52s burning. And when I arrived back in the fire room, I made up two more burners with 42 plates, but don't recall who placed them in the boiler or lit them off. Now, normal steaming time to get a coal boiler online is usually close to an hour, and this boiler was brought up within about 10 to 15 minutes making steam. And actually, I was afraid we were going to blow the damn thing up or blow the refractory out in the floor. But while all this was going on, the top side, the 023 and the 04 level of flying bridge, a lot of that was on fire. And our vent fans, fresh air fans, was on the 03. And during all this time, we're in a very smoke-filled area. And this was kind of tough, you might say. And every piece of machinery we had was under duress, as, all the men were, too. Main control dropped our DA tank that was filled with superheated water, and this is when the little coffin pump came into play and saved the day for all. And it's something so few people know about. Now, everybody on board the ship knew what the main feeds were. When they missed the suction, you could hear them hammer it, shake the whole ship. And you could take a hot suction with a cold pump, but you couldn't take a cold suction with a hot pump. And our giant main feed pumps froze up, and when we tried to switch them over to a cold suction, RC Kidd and I were hosing the water side of the main feeds with a fire hose, and that was just not working. And I believe at this time is when JP broke a bone in his hand hitting against the push rods on the main feeds. Now, I had Kid, he took over the hose after hearing someone holler, we've got to have some water. And I always have thought it was Rammelsberg that I heard hollering that. And when he said we got to have some water, it means the water levels was getting dangerously low. Now, if the water level had gotten too low, we'd have had to skewer the plant. And we would have absolutely, totally been dead in the water. Everything would have ceased to operate. And when I started the coffin pump, because it was an auxiliary pump to the main feeds, all I could hear was a real high-pitched whine, because this was a high-speed centrifugal pump. And I knew it was air. And see, JP and I, we had never tested that pump to see if we had actually gotten it fixed. And I heard this high-pitched whine for maybe 15-20 seconds, and then it took a real deep hum, and I realized that JP and I had actually fixed it. Or I better give the credit to JP, because he put it together the last time. And we got water to the boilers, and that was, you know, that was another one of the many things that was averted. And, you know, of course, all the while that this was going on, smoke from topside fires, our fresh air fans were located, as I just now mentioned, behind the stack on the O3. They were sucking in smoke down there. Now, when our fans, you know, got shot to pieces and no longer worked, our spaces slowly cleared of the smoke. And years later, while talking to our main propulsion assistant, who was our boss, Ensign Mac Watson, he made the following statement to me. He said I'd only been there, MPA, for 3 weeks and knew nothing about the plant. But you guys certainly knew y'all's job, because every problem that arose, y'all were able to fix it real quick, and y'all all did a great job. To me, Mac has no idea what he said meant to me. Because, you know, it made me feel vindicated, so to speak. Because, you know, the engineers had always kind of been overlooked, and I'm not trying to enlist sympathy for the engineers or anything like that. The engineers were probably the more fortunate division on the ship or group on the ship. We lost one engineer, David Skolak, out of 34 men lost. Of course, where we was at in the hole, I know when they said to stand by for torpedo attack, because we got told that once and it missed. But the second time we got told that, and it said stand by to abandon ship, and that torpedo hit, as I'm quite sure you remember, Phil, it felt like the ship had been picked up by a giant hand and rolled to port opposite of the exploding torpedo. And I thought we were going to roll over to port. And then the ship sat back down on an even keel for just a couple of seconds. And then all those spaces were flooded, as all the men had been killed in them. And the ship listed 12 or 13 degrees to starboard. And I just knew damn well we were going to capsize to starboard.
You know, Gary, this is such a... you know, such a story, and I was there. I was not in the exact space you were. But Gary, you know what has always amazed me, and what has always made me so proud to be part of the engineering department. And I did stand watch in main control, and also in the, you know, in your area in the boiler room. As cleaning burner barrel tips, but you know that was
a great job.
It was, but you know, I learned a lot. But you know what I can't, and which I still can't figure out to this day. You guys knew that those torpedoes were coming, and you stood your ground. And if you would not have stood your ground, that ship would have sunk.
Don't think that there wasn't thoughts of which ladder can I get up if it hits us, because those thoughts certainly ran through my mind as a thousand other thoughts were running through them. Because, you know, we had those old inflatable May West or life jackets, had a little old CO2 cartridge. And I don't know why I did this, but I remember it just as plain as can be. And, you know, you had a mouthpiece that you could blow it up, or you could pull a string and the CO2 cartridge would fill it. And I inflated the damn thing by mouth. I thought, well, I might need this later. I don't know what, you know, it's like everybody in hell likes ice water. I don't know what I thought I'd do with it later if we got hit. But, you know, we took a jolt down there, and something that we didn't know what it was until the morning of the 9th. We had a senior chief BT come off the Davis and came over and helped us, and we had trouble with our starboard boiler. The jarring down there was intense enough to knock 3 handhold plates out of that starboard boiler. Now, these plates are, I'm going to say, 4 by 6 inch square. You got a flexitalic gasket on the in the groove on the big head. This head is held in place by a large U-shaped washer and a big nut's put on that, and then you run this up and tighten it up with a dogging wrench, then you take a 4-pound hammer and knock it in place. You run a hydrostatic test on this boiler of 450 to 500 pounds to make sure nothing leaks. To say the absolute least, these handhold plates are put in there real good. You could sit there with a sledgehammer and probably couldn't knock one loose. But that torpedo knocked three of them loose in the starboard boiler. And something else that most people don't realize, something else that helped save that ship, is north of forward of the engineering spaces, the BT spaces, there was a large fuel oil tank, or that old heavy crude oil that we burned. And it was between us, and next to that was the distill tank that held fresh water. The torpedo hit the ship just forward of that. Now, everybody knows it ruptured that tank. But stop and think about this a second. This old heavy oil is below the water level of the ship. Probably the temperature of this oil was 70 degrees, which would have made it, it had had a consistency, something like Jell-O, as I'll use that. Most people could understand that term. But for us to burn that crap in our boilers, we ran it through a heater and heated it to anywhere from usually 180 to 300 degrees and then run it through a sprayer plate under pressure, because it has to be at 150 degrees Fahrenheit spraying out through that little burner barrel tip to make it burn. And then you're hitting it naturally with a lot of oxygen from your forced out blowers. But had that oil tank not been where it was and ruptured, it was like a giant shock absorber. Had it not been there, the engineering spaces where I was at would have also been, those bulkheads would have been breached. And we wouldn't exactly probably be talking right now. We'd be sitting on a cloud or sitting near a furnace, I'm not sure which.
Well, a furnace or a cloud, I think the good Lord saved us for the cloud. But, you know, Gary, I wanted to get back to how difficult it was when these blowers, and you have all this smoke coming into your compartment and the main control and the boiler room, a lot of people don't understand what you're talking about. Now, folks, what he's talking about is these men were supposed to get cooler air from the outside, and all they were getting is smoke.
Right,
and how you survived that, I have no idea.
Well, you know, normal operating temperature under the vents, or there where the fresh air vents were, usually was about 105 degrees. Not exactly a pleasant place. There was nothing down there that wasn't hot as hell. Everything was lagged real thick with asbestos lagging to lessen the heat. And I mean, there's so many things down there burnt me the 20 months I was there till it was unreal. But our vent fans were pulling in this smoke from all this stuff burning topside. And we only cleared out of smoke down there after the fans got shot all to hell and gone, and they didn't work anymore. And they never worked again after that period. They were never fixed. But when it got so smoky that standing at the burner barrel table, Phil, looking at the gauge panels, trying to, you know, help keep an eye on all the gauges and the equipment, you just could see that gauge panel. I had gone around to a rag locker and got a bunch of rags and run water over them out of the still tank and threw everybody a wet rag to breathe through. Because, I mean, you know, hell, it was choking. I don't know if you remember when we were in boot camp, we went through what was called a smokehouse. And they put your whole company in there, which was, I think, 90 men. And they closed the doors on you. And it had smoky, oily rags in there burning and smoking. And you couldn't see nothing. And that was one of the things that they taught us, you know, in boot camp about how to navigate and deal with that. Knowing that circumstance would never arrive for me, I'd never seen nothing like that in the Navy. Sure as hell did, though. And you know, at one time, I don't know if you remember it, but the turbo generators dropped offline for a little while, and we was without electrical power. Because, as I mentioned earlier, the emergency diesel had been shot all to hell. We were sitting down there. We were down there in the fire room with battle lanterns trying to keep an eye on the water levels in the boilers. We still had, you know, we were still making steam. Finally, they got the turbos back up, and we got our electricity back up. But you're sitting in the dark, in the smoke. You're getting the hell shot out of you. It really wasn't a whole lot of fun at that point in time.
No, it wasn't, Gary. Hang on, and we'll get right back to you. Again, folks, remember, support RBN. They got a pledge drive going. Give what you can. We'll be right back. And this is a very, very, very interesting show. Thank you.
Are you concerned about fluoride, chlorine, parasites, and other contaminants in your drinking water? Dalton ceramic water filters have been made continuously since 1827 and are used by disaster relief organizations and in third world countries to supply safe drinking water. Not only do we offer gravity filter systems, but also under the sink and countertop systems. Our replacement filters can be used to upgrade your existing system. And unlike some other filters on the market, Dalton filters do not have to be primed. For more information, call us at 800-696-1435, 800-696-1435, or order online at Dalton.com. That's Dalton.com.
As many of you know, natural supplements are fantastic for your body and have zero side effects. You need to restore your body's natural balance. Theravim strives to carry only the highest quality dietary supplements and natural vitamins that can be beneficial in helping your body recover from the impact of daily stress, allergens, illness, environmental pollution, and the aging process. Why buy from Theravim? Simple. Theravim provides a rewards program. Earn $1 for every $10 spent, free health consultations, free shipping on all orders, and an additional 10% discount on every order when you mention the coupon code RBN. Call 866-647-4372. That's 866-647-4372, or go to Theravim.com. That's TERRAVIM.com. Theravim, the best supplements on earth.
In times like these, you can't depend on the government to keep you warm and fed, but you can depend on the Vermont Bun Baker to do just that. With the Vermont Bun Baker, you'll never be in a situation where you can't cook, bake, fry, boil water, or heat your home all at the same time. One of the most revolutionary cook stoves, wood stoves ever, the Vermont Bun Baker is available with or without soapstone veneer, a natural stone that retains heat and radiates it back into the room once the fire is out. A beautiful addition to your home, the Vermont Bun Baker has an efficiency rating well above 75% and qualifies for the wood stove tax credit. For more information, watch the Vermont Bun Baker on YouTube and live stream, or visit us at www.vermontwoodstove.com. You can also reach us by calling 1-866-SOAPSTONE. Don't ever be hungry or cold because the power's gone out. With a Vermont Bun Baker, all you have to worry about is what's for dinner.
Welcome back, folks. Here we go for the last few minutes, the first hour of Your Voice Counts, and thank you very much for standing by and listening to the testimony of a very brave and a good friend and a good shipmate aboard the USS Liberty, and I wanted to also try to get something clear here, Gary. It's always been said that both boilers were taken offline, and if that would have happened, if both boilers would have been offline, there would have been no way in the world to get any of them started. One boiler was always online, and I think it was the starboard boiler, or maybe it was the port, but without that coffin pump, after they dropped the DA tank with that superheated water, we would have been in dire straits. What do you think, Shipmate?
Well, after the DA pump was the DA tank, the DA aerated water, in a closed vessel with the oxygen removed from the water, you can superheat water and it doesn't turn into steam. Now, see, that water temperature was 400-something degrees, and that's what was being fed into the steam drum, as would normally be done. And we didn't have any trouble making plenty of steam with everything hot. But now when we had to go to a cold suction, the coffin pump delivered cold water, and we finally did get the main feeds back up online, but it probably took 20 minutes to do it, with somebody constantly there with a fire hose spraying the water into those pumps to get them to where they'd pick up a cold suction. At that point in time, we went from being able to make all the steam that the machinist mates could pull to we couldn't make over 400 pounds of steam. Because it's hard to put cold water in a hot boiler, and you cannot maintain when you do that. And that actually slowed us down probably 3 knots. But now both boilers were up, hot, and online from shortly after the attack started, and we didn't take the starboard boiler off until, I'm going to say, probably somewhere between 10 and 11 o'clock the morning of the 9th. And we may have taken it off earlier than that because it was bled down real quick. We were trying to find out what in the hell had happened to it. But we had both boilers up online. Now, we were back down burning a 51 plate in each boiler, something like that, or a couple of 51s, just enough to make steam to turn the engines over. It's what it would have amounted to.
Okay, now what we're talking about, you were at 400 pounds, and usually at 6 or 650. Am I correct?
No. Normally you would have been at 450. Now,
okay.
We were running above the 450, though, but the machinist mates were pulling all the steam that they could pull, and they were squeezing all the turns they could out of that main shaft until that torpedo hit us. Or just prior to it, I should say, because prior to getting hit by the torpedo, we had been, the DA tank had been dropped, and we had to take a cold feed to the boiler. And so that cooled us down by, let's see, about 1 ninth. Instead of 450 degrees, we were at 400 degrees. I say 450, we was probably 460, 470. You lift safeties around 475 or 480.
Okay, Gary, we're going into another break, and we got some callers coming in. But, folks, remember RBN and the pledge.